Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
All right. What an incredible truth this morning, just to be reminded of how worthy our God is. Amen? Amen. Live and well. Excited to be here. Excited to open up God's Word. This is your first time here at the Bridge Church. We are so excited you are here. We take the next few moments and open up God's Word and see how it is relevant to us today. We're Bible people. We're Jesus people. We love to worship Jesus and what He is doing in our lives. And we believe God has called us on mission. And so we believe He is faithful, and we are excited to be a part of that mission on that call. Before we get started today, I just wanted to have a quick announcement about a transition that is happening on our staff here at the Bridge Church. Pastor Jason Clark is he's going to take a step back from his leadership role and just to where he can focus on his family and focus during this season. And so he doesn't have to carry the weight of leadership. Obviously, they're still going to be around. They're still going to be plugged in, still connected. But we believe our family is our first ministry. We want to support in that. And so we're continuing to believe that God is moving and on mission here. And so it'll just look a little bit different. But for the most part, we still have an incredible team, and they're still plugged in and walking with us each and every step along the way. And so my name is Daniel Cazenave, pastor here at the Bridge Church, and we are in a series called Gifted. First week we talked about the power of God's grace, and if we get that gift first, everything changes in our life. And then last week we talked about how we can fan the flames of our spiritual gift through power, love, and self-discipline. And then the next 2 weeks we're going to get a little bit practical. Is that okay with you guys? Just dive into the spiritual gifts. What does it mean for me as an individual? What does it mean for me as a believer? And how does that interact with me on a daily basis? And how as a church can we come alongside together in that? So I want to pray for us, and then we're going to jump right in. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the opportunity to come together, God, with just a community as we come together and lean on each other. I pray that we will lean on you this morning. I pray that as everything that may have happened this week or even this morning, God, I pray that we can come before you. And I pray that you will encourage us, God. I pray that you will build us up. I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, God. We love you, and that's all this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I kind of want to get a survey of everybody this morning. I just want to see what kind of personality types we have in the house. Do we have somebody who is more of like, I love to not necessarily have all the dots connected. Like, I'm going to feel this thing out first, almost like I'm going to build this thing in the air. I don't read directions. Like, I like to have that kind of mentality first. Anybody like that in the house? Anybody kind of similar to that? That's a little bit more like me, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's just go for this thing. And then what about the complete opposite? My type A personalities in the house. Like, you like checklists, and there needs to be a place for everything. Like, I'm a slightly OCD, but, you know, I still can be social. That's my wife. She is just like that. And I believe there's something in everybody's house. I'm trying to see if it's true. There's something in everybody's house that causes a little bit of tension. And I don't know if you've ever seen it before. I'm trying to see if it's in everybody's house, but you may call it the junk drawer, or you may call it that drawer, just where you get something in the mail and you look at it, you read it, and you go, I really can't throw this away, but I really don't have anywhere else to put this. So you get like that really little screwdriver that's like only for certain things. And you're like, this won't go in my toolbox, but I can't just put it anywhere. This drawer will work, right? You just throw it in that drawer. Just for proof, I want to show you a picture of our that drawer at our house right there. Look at that. And that is beautiful. My wife was in here. She just cringe, you know, like the type A, you just open it and she's like, oh, it's that drawer. You got some, look, I don't even know, like something for the sink, for the floors, got nails in there. Anyway, scissors, you just got that drawer, right? That just, You just don't, not really, it's like in between, in the middle. I don't really know what to do with it. I can't throw all this stuff away. There's a purpose for it, but I just don't have an exact place for it. And I believe sometimes we can think about spiritual gifts that way, right? Like, we know the Bible speaks on spiritual gifts. We know that they are present. We know as a believer, we even have spiritual gifts. But sometimes it's like we can get it, we can look at it and go, I'm not real sure how this plays into my life. Like right now, I'm not sure what this means for me. And so we're just going to kind of place it right here on the side. Like, we're not really going to dive into it, but I'm not really also going to fully take on, because I'm just not sure. And I'm just not sure about what this looks like. I'm not sure what this could mean for me in my life. And so my prayer is that over the next 2 weeks, we unclutter that drawer, right? Like, we just dive in, we put things in their place. And I believe that's an important thing that we can do as believers. We're going to get a little bit, like I said earlier, practical and look at these gifts and what they mean for our lives. And today, to help us understand this, there is a man named Apostle Paul, and he wrote a letter to the Corinthians called 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And in fact, it was a lot of the letter was in response, because the Corinthians church reached out to Paul and said, hey, we have some things going on in our church, some things going on in our life, and we need some clarity. Can you help us on this? And so Paul writes a letter to the Corinthian church just to spell some things out, to bring some clarity, to clear up a little bit of some things that are going on in their lives. And so we're looking today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. We're going to go through a couple verses first and then jump back in. And just to give a little bit of context, the Corinthian church, most of the Corinthian church came from a pretty radical background. And so they were very, very spiritual people. In fact, they would, some of their religions that they came from, they would be very, very, almost what you call outlandish, very outspoken. They would wear certain things, have crazy rituals, and kind of go over the top. And so some of that carried over into the church. And God started to manifest through the Holy Spirit in their lives, and spiritual gifts began to arise. And so they wrote to Paul and said, hey, what do we do, right? Like, a lot of these things are happening. And some of the Jewish Christians were coming up, and of course, they were used to the law and having everything in the exact compartments. And they were saying, how do we help navigate this? And so Paul writes back to create some clarity on spiritual gifts. And so we're going to start here in verse 1. It says, now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I love when the word says brothers and sisters. Just creating that family mindset. And that's what Paul is writing. He's saying, look, family, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. He's like, I don't want you to have to think or have this be muddy. I want you to know. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And I love this first section. Paul is creating a little bit of clarity. He's saying, hey, even though it may seem like they're being over the top with some of these spiritual gifts, but nobody who has the Holy Spirit inside of them is going to say Jesus be cursed, right? He's trying to create some unity within this church. He's saying, hey, look, it may seem a little different. It may seem like, hey, this a little supernatural or something strange is happening. But if they are confessing that Jesus is Lord, like, we know they're on the right track. We know their heart is in the right place. So let's create some clarity around this. Let's create a better picture of bringing everybody together in unity under one name here. And so he's setting the stage for this. And I want to set a foundation before we get into verse 5, is that we believe that once a believer is saved, they receive the Holy Spirit at that moment. And once the believer receives the Holy Spirit at that moment, the Holy Spirit then decides what gifts that believer gets in that moment. The Holy Spirit determines that. I can't go, man, God, I just Can I be really good at teaching? Can I be really good at mercy? Can I just have the gift of faith, God? God is saying, no, I created you. I wired your brain. I wired your mind. I wired your emotions. I knew what generation you would be in. I knew what family you were going to be in. And so I know what is best, and I'm going to place this and manifest myself in you through spiritual gifts this way. And so we can't step back and go, oh, that eliminates any kind of compare game, right? Because we know that it is a gift, that it is a supernatural gift that we get from God, that we don't have to sit back and go, ah, look at that, look at them, look at me. And God is saying, no, you have a part to play. How encouraging is it to know that God loves you so much, that not only does He save us by His grace, but He makes His home among us and in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, gives us power, love, self-discipline to fan into flames, and gives us a gift to accomplish that plan. And He cares about each person enough to go, I know exactly what you need, and here it is. And He places it in our heart and gives us that plan and gives us that life. And it's an incredible picture to know and to understand. And so we believe that the Holy Spirit continues to work in our lives. And so Paul continues here in verse 5. He says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 7 here, I'm going to show you just a quick definition of spiritual gifts from these few verses here in verse 7. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to manifest. The word manifest is to display God, and given to help others. So the purpose we get spiritual gifts, the reason you and I get that gift that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, we're going to read through them and work through them together. But the reason we have those is to manifest God. That you and I get to display God, the creator of the universe who breathes out stars. You and I get to display God through our gifts. That's an incredible thought to know how powerful, how incredible He is. And we get to display Him to the world around us, to the church around us, to the people we work with, to our family, through the gifts that the Holy Spirit manifests inside of us. And so we get this picture of what it is, and that each one of us have a part to play, and that when we learn to grow, just as we talked about last week, in power, in love, in self-discipline, how we fan that flame, we have a part to play that God has called us to. And so we're gonna jump in here. We're going to start to go down the list here in verse 8. Now, I didn't give you a list that you can just kind of read through and checklist, because we can read it right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you have, my encouragement is to go back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and some other places I've given you and read through that. And we're going to give you a little handout that you see there on your desk of some practical application steps outside of this, of discovering the gifts that God has given us. But we can go back and read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of what this looks like and what this means for our life. And so I'm going to continue to read here in verse 8. You guys still with me? Amen. All right, here we go. Verse 8, it says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. We were talking about how that is a huge principle there, that the Holy Spirit, and you see a common theme throughout these verses, that it just says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit distribute these in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Holy Spirit gives us strength in this. And so we're going to hit these through here. And the first one He talks about is wisdom. And what an incredible, cherished gift. If you remember Solomon, he begins to pray and talk to God. And God says, hey, what is the one thing you want? I'll give it to you. And he says, can I have wisdom? And God is so pleased with that response that He says, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you everything that you need to be king in that moment. And we see in Proverbs that Solomon was declared one of the wisest men to ever live. And God loves this wisdom. And sometimes we can have that wisdom inside of our lives, and you may begin to sit back and think about, okay, do people come to me a lot for wise advice? Or do people come to me because I can offer this wisdom, this practical application? I can take God's truth and say, hey, this is what it means in your life. This is how God can help you. This is what you can do in this particular situation. Because if you're like me, sometimes we read the Bible and you're like, how does this apply to me? Like, this lady was just yelling at me at work, and this other person is talking bad about me to my boss, and how does God's word and truth intertwine into this? And sometimes it's good to have the people who have that wisdom to look in on the situation and go, here's what I believe that God is steering and directing us to do. Maybe the gift of wisdom. Then he goes on, the message of knowledge. What an incredible gift that when you're praying for somebody, maybe you've experienced this, you're praying for a neighbor, you're praying for a family member, and all of a sudden you know exactly what to pray for. Something pops to your mind, something comes to your heart, and you are able to pray for that specific thing and that specific reason, and in a particular way. Maybe you've even prayed for somebody before out loud, and all of a sudden you said something, and they look up and go, how did you know that? Because you were able to penetrate. God spoke to your heart, gave you a special revelation into that person. And so this word of knowledge, and as you can see, even just from the first two that we're talking about, how incredible are these gifts for the church? That we can come together, and how important is it that we need each other? That we can lean on each other, that, hey, I need wisdom in this situation, and can I come to you and you help me in this? Hey, I need some special knowledge in this. Can you pray for me and with me in this? And so we come together, each playing a part, each getting stronger, each being equipped. And it's so important that each and every one of us play that particular part. And then he continues and says that you may have the gift of faith. That we even read in Scripture that it is impossible to please God without faith. And maybe you get this audacious faith and trust in God. I believe that Peter may even had a hint of this, because everybody else is sitting on the boat, right? And Jesus comes walking out on the water, and everybody else is like, is this a ghost? Like, what is happening? This is storms going on. And Peter's like, can I walk on water too? Right? Like, it's like a different mindset. And people who have this gift of faith, it's like, wait, you're thinking about that right now? Like, you're thinking about that big? You believe God is that big? You trust God that much? And it's just something inside of them that God is trying to display in them, that they have so much faith in God in that situation. And they're there to encourage and build up and equip the church. And then he goes on, continue. You guys with me? Say amen. Amen. I told you there's a good list here, and I prayed over and over again. I'm like, God, do we just keep digging in? And God just confirmed in my heart, just keep digging in. Let's build the church. Let's equip the church. So we're going to keep digging in. Healing, miraculous powers. Now, obviously, this is one that can catch some attention, right? If you're able to pray over someone. Now, I do want to create some clarity, because we can think, well, can only the people who have this gift do this? The answer is no. God can choose to manifest Himself in and through somebody at any moment in time. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And God in His will can choose to work through anybody. And He does. But there may be somebody who just notices, man, this is happening a lot in my life. Like, I pray for them, and I have a faith, a concern for people. And I can pray healing, and I see healing. I see fruit from that ministry. I see encouragement from that ministry. And I begin to pray, and miraculously, signs begin to happen in my life, and we see things happen in this, and we see that all these are connected. And as we get further into this message, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, of that most of the time it's hard for God to manifest Himself in us while we're in our comfort zone, while we're stepped back, because I'm sure it's not in anybody's comfort zone when somebody is hurt to walk up to them and go, I believe God is going to heal you. Let's pray over you right now in Jesus' name. That takes faith, right? It's almost like you realize you have a gift, and they look back and go, whoa, you, I just is feeling something inside of me like God is moving, God is healing me, God is taking my anxiety, God is healing me either physically, whatever it is, and all of a sudden they see God through you because He displayed Himself, He manifested Himself through you. But it takes us getting out of our comfort zone. It takes us stepping out and believing God and resting and trusting in the gifts that He has given us. Next, it goes on and says prophecy. This one, sometimes we think about the Old Testament prophet, somebody walking in, and God said, right, and said this, but bring some clarity. There's a couple different levels of prophecy. Sometimes people will get special revelation about future events, right? Now, there are some people that'll go, oh, God is coming back on this date, but we even see that the Son of Man does not even know that truth. God says the Son of Man does not even know that revelation, but there are certain people that may get this special revelation about a future event, and they can look into it and even help the church. We even see Joseph in the Old Testament, he starts to predict famine through dreams, and God speaks to him through special revelations. And we, as New Testament Christians, there can be a gift of prophecy. And a lot of times, if you have the gift of prophecy, you love truth. Like truth, like you cannot stand for people to back outside of truth. And you usually speak clear, you speak concise, and you go, no, this is what the truth said. This is what the Word of God says. A lot of times, somebody has the gift of prophecy, has a bold disposition. Like they have this, some false teachers may rise up, and somebody has the gift of prophecy, a lot of times they'll step up and go, no, this is what the Word of God says. This is what has happened. This is what the prophet has said. And so, not that they are a prophet, but they may have that gift. And God has put that in them. And because God wants truth to resound, because as we talked about a few weeks ago, truth sets us free. And God wants His truth to stand and to stand firm in His truth. And then distinguishing between spirits. And now these next few that we're going to talk about get a little bit like, okay, this is kind of getting like kooky almost. Like this is getting supernatural. This is getting a little different. And so He says distinguishing between spirits. But how incredible and important this is for the church. For somebody to step back and go, okay, I know that this is wrong and this is right. I can't tell you exactly why, but I can just feel that something is different either about this person, about this situation, and they're able to do that. And maybe, I believe every Christian has the conviction of the Holy Spirit to start to convict us of sin. But there may be somebody that it just starts to happen over and over again, and you're like, you know what? And then something will happen, and you go, oh yeah, I was right. That feeling was true, and it happens continuously, and maybe you have the gift of distinguishing between spirits. And how important is that for two roads? For the one person to speak up outside of my comfort zone and go, I don't think this is right. And then also, how about the church coming around him and going, okay, we believe you have this gift that's been confirmed, and we're going to start allowing to listening and moving and growing in that gift. And as we come together and each do our part as the body, right? As we walk together as the body of Christ, we build each other up. We encourage each other each and every step as we go. And then the last two, I'm gonna hit these kind of quick, because I believe that these last two have caused some of the most division inside of the church, some of the most unclear and muddy grounds. And as we read this, Apostle Paul even notices this, and he spends even longer in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 even breaking this down a little bit further. And so speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. And so we see that these two are together, and they come connected as one, because yes, speaking in tongues is in the Bible. It is a spiritual gift, but God is saying, remember, the purpose of a spiritual gift is for common good. The purpose of spiritual gift is to build up His church, to build up His body. And so we see these two come together, that if I'm able to speak either an angelic tongue or a special message, we see in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit came down like fire and began to speak through them in other languages that they did not know before, but they started to hear, hey, that is my dialect. That is my special language. And all of a sudden, they could hear the gospel through them. And sometimes God would even speak through a prayer language. But then we see that there are people who can interpret that and go, okay, this is what they're praying for. This is what they're declaring. This is what is happening. And so they're able to work together and build the church up as one. And so we see that God begins to work for the common good in all of these places. And so as he continues here, we even see, I'm going to hit these real fast because, again, we're going to spend 2 weeks on this. And I know it just feels like, hey, we're drinking through a fire hose right now. But my intent is not to hit these like a school lesson. We take these home and go, circle mine, this is it. Just to start the discovery process, start the praying process of what God is doing inside of our lives and inside of our hearts. And so we even see the spiritual gifts begin to show, and God speaks to them through Ephesians chapter 4. We even see in 1 Peter, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and even Romans chapter 12, we see that God speaks to spiritual gifts and they come up as a common theme. Another spiritual gift that we see is mercy. And how incredible is it to have this gift? Because our flesh, our human nature is not to show mercy, right? So every time we show mercy, we are displaying God to the world. And some people have the gift just to, and you probably can recognize these people. Something happens and they just swoop right in, showing somebody mercy, showing somebody grace. And they walk right next to them. And they have huge empathy for people. And they know how to walk in their shoes. And they can connect with them on an incredible level. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, there becomes a particular theme. Even Paul lists these in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then he also lists these in Ephesians chapter 4, almost like these are a base of gifts that begin to manifest themselves inside of the church. And so there's five of them, and he begins to explain some of these: apostles, evangelist, prophet, shepherd or pastor, and teacher. And so he gives this mindset and he gives this list, and he gives the first one, he talks about the apostle. And you know, the apostles that were in the church, that means they were directly appointed by Jesus to start the early church, to go out and to spread that. But God is also teaching that you may have an apostle spirit. You may have an apostle's gift to where you want to start something new, something inside of you. There's a wiring in you that you're always thinking, what's the next step? A lot of times these guys, I know, the reason why I can speak on this a little bit, because God has spoken to my heart, and that's the way my brain thinks. I walk into a place and if somebody says, oh, well, there's not really a lot happening there, it's like a light bulb comes off my head. I'm like, well, why not? We need to get somebody over here. Let's get a team. Let's get rolling, right? And to have that mindset of saying, hey, I'm ready to go in first. Or he continues, the evangelist, right? And a lot of times this is somebody who is up front, who is really good with people, who can talk and share the gospel, who can walk up. And this is how you know somebody has a true gift of evangelism. Is they're sitting in the grocery store and you're in line with them, right? Maybe you got this friend and they're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden they're talking about the chips in the aisle, and then all of a sudden they're talking about how good Jesus is. And you're like, how in the world did that? Like, how do they transition that? How did they make that happen? Somebody has a gift of evangelism. That's just something inside of them that God has empowered them to do that. Now, we are all called to share Jesus. We are all commanded by God's grace to share the gospel and take it to the ends of the earth. But there are some people who just have a supernatural gift. There is almost like they walk up and shake hands with somebody and they're like, I don't know why, but I just feel connected to you, right? Like, they just have this connection with people. They have a gift of evangelism, and how powerful that is for the kingdom of God. And then prophet, we already talked about prophet, so I'm not going to hit that again. Shepherd, pastor, somebody who may also have the gift of mercy. You see these begin to manifest in that person because they can walk with people. They can shepherd them. They're with them. They're willing to. They're the 3 a.m. friends, right? They just show up and they're letting you cry on their shoulder. They're crying with you. They're laughing. They're like, I don't know why we're crying, but I'm just crying with you, right? Like, they're with you. They feel deep wounds. My wife is an incredible shepherd, because when somebody hurts and she comes to her, she truly hurts with them. I mean, when you're hurting, she's hurting. She feels the wound that you feel and walking with them. And so we see this incredible gift and how we need these. And the last one is teacher. And we know these become self-explanatory. We begin to teach God's word, to make it clear. And sometimes we think just about a pastor, like up teaching God's word. But how powerful is it when you're at work and you're able to make something clear at work to somebody, how this biblical principle can apply to them at their job, or maybe children's ministry. Like, all of a sudden we're able to invest and share the gospel into kids' lives. So it's not just teaching to adults, teaching at all levels in every opportunity, because there's just something inside of you that that God has wired you that way, and it is a supernatural, special gift of teaching that you can make that concept clear, and God begins to work and manifest Himself in and through you. And so, if you look at your desk there, go get a desk, okay. We almost, whenever we got this location and God opened it up for us to be here, we thought about a lot of really fun things that we could do with this desk. Like, you can take notes. It's your own personal altar. You can do all these different things. And so you got some awesome desks there. And on that desk, we've given you a little bit of a handout. And I don't want you to feel like this is the end all. This has all the answers. If I check each one of these off the list, I'm going to know my spiritual gift. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to have power in it. But just to give you some tools to start that conversation. And so the first one that you see there is, start with prayer. We put a just real simple prayer. God, reveal in me the gifts you have given me to help build your body, the church. Also, if you're in a small group or have a godly community around you, begin to ask them and say, hey, will you pray with me and for me as I'm on this discovery process, on this discovery road? The next one is the spiritual gifts test. And I'm going to put a little disclaimer because these have gotten a little bit more popular as they go. And there's about a bazillion on there if you Google spiritual gifts test. But we put a pretty good one on there, giftstest.com. And I even put that on there. This does not, you may pop it up in a little thing is going to pop up from questions that you answer. I don't want you to go, yes, okay, that's what I am. This is it. Here we go. I'm taking the step. But it's just to bring clarity for you to realize and go, okay, so maybe I can see that. Maybe other people have confirmed that in me. And this next one is big. Community. Ask godly people around you and put just some sample questions that you begin to ask the people around you. What gifts do you see in my life? When do you observe God working in my life? And be able to ask people these questions saying, when do you notice? Like, it's just like God shows up. When I do this, it's like almost a supernatural something occurrence happens, a special connection. And even the next one, where do you see me helping the local church? Where do you see me helping the local church? And I believe community becomes so powerful and so strong because you may not even realize it. And then somebody from the church comes up beside you and goes, you know what? I noticed that every time a hard situation happens, you lean this way. Or, hey, I noticed that you speak truth. You don't beat around the bush. Like, you speak this thing right here. And so you begin to almost call out and to coach each other, to build each other up, and the gifts that we may have with each other. And the last one is take a step to serve. Take a step to serve. And I believe this one is so important and so huge. And you may go, well, Daniel, I'm just starting this road. I don't really know what step to take. And as I was saying earlier, when we step out of our comfort zone and begin to let God use us, that is a great way for God to start to reveal what His gifts are in us. Because we may be serving in children's ministry and helping out and speaking in this little kid, and the person we're serving with, they go, you know what? You just have an uncanny ability to teach. Have you ever realized that? Or maybe, hey, you show mercy in an incredible way. Or you just speak into kids with this almost prophetic message every time they walk through the door. You're such a pastor. And so whatever it is, you may be greeting somebody. And every time they're coming through the door, you're shaking their hand. You have this special connection with them. You're walking with them. You're sharing hope with them. And they're like, have you ever thought about that maybe that God has given you the gift of evangelism? And so serving opens up that opportunity for not only us to see that, but also the people around us to look into our lives and as God begins to work in and through our lives. And so as this series, as we're finishing the next 2 weeks, we want to come alongside you as a church. And so we're going to just recreate our lobby to show every kind of opportunity we have to serve here at the Bridge Church, because we want to help support you take that step. And as you take that step, you may go, okay, I'm not really sure what I'm passionate about, but I can start here, or I can do this, or I can help this person here. And we begin to each play our part, and God begins to speak to not only us, but the people around us begin to speak in through us as well. And so you may be even stepping back and going, well, I don't really know yet. And a pastor that I asked that same question, and pastor encouraged me. He said, Daniel, just take a step. Don't stay still. Whatever you can do to allow God to start using you, you begin to start that process of discovery. You begin to start that process of God working in your life. And for you, he said, it's so important for you
to experience that God can and will use you in a powerful way. And all of a sudden, he starts to show more and more importance in our lives. And I'm just going to end the message with this because I believe it is so powerful and I keep going back to it. How incredible is that you and I have a Savior, a God who loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus, who bankrupt heaven, right? Like there are beings that were created to just fly around Jesus and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. And Jesus left that to come to earth, to die on the cross, to pay your debt, to pay my debt. And not only that, that would be enough, right? Like if that's all Jesus did is gave us that gift of grace, that would be enough. But he says, no, that's not enough. In fact, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit live inside of you and I'm going to dwell in you. You are going to be my people. And I love this incredible verse, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Anytime we're discouraged, anytime we're not sure who we are as a group of people, this is such a powerful verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What a powerful statement, right? Like, can we just give it up real quick? I know that sometimes we don't understand what that is, but God is so powerful in our lives. And that's who we are, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And he wants you to know that and to walk in that. Because every time you walk in that and display your gift, people see God in you. And our mission here at the Bridge Church is to connect people to Jesus. And the easiest way for you to do that is to live out your purpose. And people go, there's something in you. Who is that? And you're going, it's Jesus. He loves me. He loves you too. I can show you your purpose. I can show you your truth. Kids need to know this, right? Adults need to know this. Teenagers need to know this. And we want to bring people together under one name. That name is Jesus. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for your truth. Thank you for your son, Jesus, God. God, I pray that there is anybody in this room who has a hint of doubt of relationship with you, Jesus. I pray that they will settle that today. God, I pray that we, as your body, as your church, will discover our mission, discover our gifts, and may we display to Bluffton and the world around us who you are, your goodness, your grace, your mercy, God, that we were called out of darkness, and we want every single person we come in contact with to be called out of darkness too, God. We trust you. We love you. God, I pray that you will empower us and give us the courage to step out of our comfort zone. God, I pray that you will reveal in us who you've called us to be. We love you and trust you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.